Blog Talk Radio.
What?
Oh,
never mind. Hold on.
Okay, I got it.
That's
me.
I got it. We had that for Rachel's show. And luckily,
got
it. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, so I'll have to go into settings and okay.
Hello. Greetings, everyone. This is Carl from Carl's Cavern. And we are starting a whole new series. It is the ISF commentary watches. And so the Facebook watches are leaving as of this coming week. And ISF is also suggesting that people get cast because they're going to continue the watches. But for those of you that don't want to do that, we are starting a whole series of commentary watches. Now, today we are doing Deadly Hero, and I suggested that you go to Amazon. Well, Amazon and its great, wondrous wisdom, it was free last week. It's not free now, but there is a free copy on YouTube. So go to YouTube, put in Deadly Hero, and you'll be able to watch it with us, okay? So we'll give you a couple moments there.
Yes.
So this is going to be weekly, and I'm going to be doing specifically 70s films. Doc here has an announcement on what you have a friend of yours that's going to come in every so often, right? He's due to come in next week.
Yes, yeah, it's supposed to be here next week, and quite the interesting individual that likes to deal with sexploitation films and adult movies and all sorts of stuff that you could consider sleazy. So, I'm looking forward to getting this role, and it'd be great. Oh, and just so everybody knows, the Deadly Hero video on YouTube you want to watch, the title is Deadly Hero 1975. And that's the one. It starts off, it's pretty much the same. It's about 5 seconds less movie than the one that's on Amazon. But, you know, 5 seconds, whoop-a-dee-doo, right?
Right, exactly. Right.
Yep. So, yeah,
and
we're
so here we go. Yeah. What we're going to do now is we'll get to the beginning of the movie, we'll get started here momentarily. I will do a countdown here.
Okay, now we're starting from on Amazon where you can select the movie, and then we just push our right. play button, and we continue on. Just so everybody knows, Amazon sometimes throws in commercials. It may happen, but we'll roll with it.
Okay. So there you go.
Okay, so,
and we'll let you know if there's a commercial, but I don't think there will be. So we're going to start right at the beginning. I'm going to give you a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go. And in you see coming Castle Productions, Castle Hill Productions. And that's where we are.
Yeah. Yep. A little red star flying in.
And this was an APCO Embassy release. APCO Embassy was an independent back in the 70s. They did a lot of... they did a lot of great stuff. Now, here at the beginning, you see Don Murray. Don Murray is still living. He was born in 1929. And probably the best-known thing, well, the first thing that he basically did was he did, like, A Hatful of Rain in the 50s, The Hoodlum Priest, Advice and Consent. With Otto Preminger, number of things, not the best, you know, best known, but he's all over the place. And you've seen him in a lot of things. He was on Knots Landing for a number of years. He was actually in one of my favorite films, Made in Heaven, in a small part. But did lots of TV. And he was in Twin Peaks, too, as Bushnell Mullins. So that is Don Murray. And he's getting on his gun and all that sort of good stuff. And now, Doc, so this movie was directed by a gentleman by the name of Ivan Nagy.
These are troubled times.
Yeah, he's a little scary in this. So Ivan Nagy was a Czech emigre, and he did. He started out. Well, let me put it this way. He was a ballet dancer. Came over and emigrated. And then got into film. And not only that, was embroiled in the Heidi Fleiss outrage back in the 70s and 80s, the Hollywood Matter. Did a lot of TV. Did a lot of good gritty stuff, some blaxploitation in that in the 70s. And then ended up doing Playboy movies. And he passed away in 2015. Think about it. He's a ballet dancer. He gets involved with Heidi Fleiss. He does films like this. He ends up doing sexploitation films. How can you not love the man? Really, what do you think, Doc?
I'm honestly impressed by that story, and I'm really liking the camera work and how they have it bolted to extend it out from the front of the police car. And this is New York. This is NYC, right?
What's this about? Yeah. Say that again.
This is New York City, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, supposed to be. Okay. Yeah. I really like this already. Just by the camera work and production already.
Oh, well. Looky here. That stupid crack. I told her to stay out of my sector.
Oh, and by the way, just so you all know, this is really on PC. So just letting you know if you're triggered. Well, personally, I think that's your problem. I grew up in the 70s. Now, this film, I was very lucky in a number of ways in the 70s because a lot of things came together for me. And one of them was we had early HBO. And HBO at the time was only doing films. And so basically anything that fails. Oh, here you go. Is this 70s or what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he just quit his pants. Oh, yeah, and there's casual nudity and all sorts of good stuff. So where we are, in the 70s, we had early HBO. We were a test market. And so I got to see lots of films like this in the 70s. Plus, I also was working at a drive-in, and it was just wonderful. Got to see so much. Now, the actress there with the cello is our lead actress. Her name is Dionne Williams. And I got to check in on her because I've never really seen her outside of this film. By the way, the director, you know who that is? The guy that's now carrying the cello?
Ah, that's him.
Do you know who it is?
No. Not at the moment, no.
That's Ciro Mostel's son. It's Josh
really?
Mostel. Yeah. Very
and
small
we also have free-form smoking in this movie, too, which... Nowadays, movies don't see anybody smoking. This is great. I love it. When movies were free.
So you're going to meet a nice man, and I want you to smile nicely for you.
So I'm looking now at Deion Williams. She did some TV. She did Deadly Hero. And after Deadly Hero, she never did anything else. So maybe this movie just turned her off. She goes through the ringer in this, by the way. She really goes in the ringer in this.
You know, there were actually quite a few actors from the 70s and early 80s, well, late 60s through the early 80s, that have done one film, like, never done anything else.
Mm.
Like, the guy who played Charlie in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
right.
That was his one and only movie. And believe it or not, he's I think he's a veterinarian, and he's lives about 30 miles north of me, like, right here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me, that's awesome. Yeah. One movie, one and done.
So the interesting thing, do you know what the Knights of Columbus is, Doc?
I've heard of them, and I know we have a group of them in here in Utica. So I'm not specifically...
They're a Catholic organization, the Knights
okay.
of Columbus. And they get involved in politics. They get involved in a number of things. They also do a lot of, like, community service and things like that. But in this case, here you have this cop who's very Catholic, who is wants to get politically involved.
I have heard the Knights of Templar, but, you know, that's a different movie series altogether.
No. Well, of course, you could see that this is low budget. They're the only people there. But that's okay.
Yep.
But again, his camera work going through the crowd, man, it's, you know, he was a good director. It's a shame that Yvonne didn't do more. So here we have this New York premiere.
And I love these cars. They're like land barges.
And I mean, the costumes and the whole thing just screams counterculture at the time. I was in high school when this came out. And
yeah,
there he is.
Yeah, I was thinking about Andy Warhol during this so far. Not
yeah, exactly.
Reservations for Ambassador Shazow.
Yes, sir.
And that's James Earl Jones. Now, at this point, he had some success. Of course, one of his first roles was in Dr. Strangelove in A Very Small World. But at this point, he had done The Great White Hope. He had done The Man, which was written by Rod Serling. And he was in the middle of his blaxploitation period from 1971 to 1975, or 76 actually. And so a lot of people consider this a blaxploitation. I don't. He's the only black actor in it, really.
5 minutes.
Yeah, James Earl Jones has done a lot of different movies. You know, of course, he was the voice of Darth Vader in Star Trek, but he also did a couple horror flicks, too.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget the Lion King.
Yeah, Mong Lion
King. Well, you know, you got to mention it. I know you're not a huge fan. You know, he was the year later did Bingo Traveling All Stars, which is a great film. He played Malcolm X in The Greatest. Exorcist 2, of course.
Right, don't forget Conan the Barbarian, False of Doom.
Don't forget his most important role ever. The Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oof, yeah. Oh, that burns so bad. And also a movie called Blood Tides, which is pretty okay, actually.
Yeah, short-lived series called Paris. He's a narrator on Beauty and the Beast. You know, Star Wars, of course. Probably one of the worst films ever, Soul Man. And of course, Coming to America, and of course, the sequel that just came out. Hunt for Red October. So now, take a look at what you're watching. This is definitely 70s. Good God. By 1975, I think this was just maybe a little dated in terms of what we're seeing. Because this is more like the late 60s hippie movies. By 75, my generation was growing up and basically, you know, said fuck you to the hippies. We'll take your drugs, we'll take your free sex, but anything else you fucked up on.
Yeah, he was also in Grim Prairie
Oh, I love that movie.
Which is fucking
really good. We should do that.
Pretty darn good.
That's a watch. Love that film.
One of these days, I gotta tell you guys about when I did a police ride along in New York City. It was awesome, entertaining, and a little crazy at the same time.
And of course, what you've got here is they're showing the racial divisions between the blacks and the cops, which is very, very common. It wasn't in 75, it wasn't until 1976 when I visited New York City on my own, and then I got a real taste of it. But here's our it's going to start for her. This is not a good thing. Now, you don't see James Earl Jones playing the bad guy often. Of course, Darth Vader.
The thing is he really a bad guy in that?
Yeah, and you might want to ask the same question at the end of this. But he's not exactly a good guy.
Right. Right.
And he's not an anti-hero. He's definitely not good. But he might not be the worst. One of the true reasons I love this film is his portrayal of this character. It really is good.
Oh, he's okay.
Look at how he just takes over the fucking screen. Seriously.
What do you, James Earl Jones has got enough charisma and talent to basically make anything good because he's in it.
No.
He's got that much presence, though. Quite the locking system on that door.
Yeah. Well, that was very common in the 70s. And he's dancing around to the music. I mean, there's a lot going on here. And now that I see that this is her last film, I actually kind of understand it. After this film, she didn't want to do anything else. She gets traumatized in this film. And the interesting thing is that this reflects a lot of 70s cinema. 70s cinema, I always say, is the most depressing decade in film. I also think it's the best decade for numerous reasons.
Oh, yeah. In the 70s, they filmmakers, late 60s, early 70s, and actually 70s pretty much all together, there was so much sleaze in the movies, and you just don't feel that anymore. You don't see it anymore.
But it's not only that. It's that you run into the anti-heroes. You know, it was no longer black and white. You know, good and evil. It was like less evil and more evil.
Or a real gray area, or you actually feel for the air quotes bad guy in the movie, like, you know, Maniac. I mean, I felt terrible for that guy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He is scary in this film. He is fucking scary.
He's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing.
This crib ain't no poverty pocket. Again, I love the dialogue in this too. Oh, that hurts. Ooh. I'm about 10 seconds ahead of you.
All right, that's all right.
Thank you.
Man, what I wouldn't do to have a couch like that.
Oh, seriously, I agree. Oh, Carlton cigarettes. Placement. Product placement.
Where do you see those? Oh, wait.
On the book. You got it?
Yep.
Yeah, his smile, too. Everything about him in this movie, even his smile, is like, God, you're fucking creepy. Personal telephone books. You don't have those anymore. It's all on your fucking
now
phone.
We have. I was just going to say that. It's like I need a telephone book. It's just, yes, I'm only 40 years old, but you know what? Damn it, I want a phone book. I want a real couch. And I want entertaining TV. Meh.
This is such an odd scene here. When was the last time your attacker danced with you?
What's that?
When was the last time an attacker danced with you?
Well, let me think. I'm joking, of course.
And of course, you think this is going to end up in a rape. But you don't get everything you expect in this movie. Not even close. Notice that.
I love low fashion ringtones like that because there's such a satisfaction when you get pissed off on somebody on the other side of that line and you slam that handle down and it goes bang. Oh,
yeah,
good stuff. Now it's just like, don't talk to me again. Don't call me with these stupid car things with warranty. Beep. Oh.
Yeah, you can't slam down your mobile phone or else you break it and you have to pay for it.
Yeah, that's $1,000 out the window.
That's not a good thing.
Nope. Okay. Ah, Milkbone product placement.
Yep.
Yeah, you can actually tell by the look on her face that she's not liking this acting gig already. Yeah.
I did not realize this was her last film. She had done some TV previous to this and actually was in a TV series. But man, this is a rough role. This is definitely a rough role.
I think you're right. This is probably what made her go, nope, not doing this anymore. I'm out of here.
Well, you know, there's a lot of films like this. I mean, Miss 45, They Call Me One Eye.
Yes, it is, ma'am.
You know, a number of them where, you know, a woman is raped and then you go into female empowerment and she kills everyone. You think maybe that's where this is going? It's not. It isn't. Remember, we have John Murray in this film. For a reason. You'll see.
Oh, sorry about that. My headset. had an issue. I didn't catch what you said there.
Hello there. I'm really going back to bother you. But
what's your address, lady?
My address?
Oh. So she's calling the police. Okay. And so this is where Don okay. Murray gets involved.
Don't worry about anything, darling. Anything. What about let me talk to you? Well, well. Hello there. Okay, ladies, just sit tight. We'll send somebody there in a minute.
What's I have there?
Hey, hold it, sucker. Hey, wait. Listen, you say this shit for the Swamis, Admiral. As they say, sailor, your position is untenable.
More power, please. Are those olives, fine pants? I think those are olives.
Broadway, 22nd Street, New York.
Yes, Dion left acting to return to law school and get her degree, and now she practices as Diane McGrath. So after this movie, she left.
I bet she's a lot happier doing that line of work than this one.
No.
Okay, the real question is for me, why did he kidnap her?
You have no idea. And neither do I.
I'm still looking. Right.
No. No, what I'm telling you is they don't give you that answer. They don't give you that answer. It just happened. Right?
Gotcha. Yep. Odd convenience. No, okay. You really definitely, apparently you needed that type of security in New York City.
Absolutely. Taking her to 42nd Street. Not exactly a good place.
This is true.
Take it easy, Scott. We might just be a family fight.
Okay, and here we have Don Murray and his partner.
And the bongos.
And the bongos, yes. Don't forget the bongos. I have the my volume turned down. I'm doing it by subtitles. Last thing I messed up was my woman's face.
My father grew up in Staten Island in New York City, and I never really got the chance to ask him about what it was like growing up in New York City when he was there.
Okay, that was Staten Island. That was a whole different place. When are we talking like 60s, 70s?
He was born in 46. So, 60s, 70s.
Yeah, Staten Island was different than Manhattan. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want anyway. You want to check the scene now?
Speakers there. That was seriously not cool.
No, and that's the whole point. So right. You think it's going one place, and suddenly you see a cop murder a black guy. Okay, so why do you think I picked this? With everything that's going on with Black Lives Matter, they were talking about this shit in the 70s. This is not new. Not at all. Not at all.
What's your story, Doc? Two in, two out, DOA right away. All right, you need me anymore? No, no, thank you very much. I'm sorry about the, I need to do that. Good night, Doc.
You're standing?
No, you're standing.
He came at me with a blade.
What hand was the blade in?
It was in his right hand. The guy's right hand.
But you see,
of course, at this point, he had thrown the blade down, so don't forget. You know, I mean... There's a lot going
on. At that
on
point, he was in their, technically in their custody. There was no point to shoot to...
Yeah, exactly.
Him.
Exactly.
Okay, all right, let's go. Take your adventure.
So Mrs. Broderick was an actress by the name of Lilia Skala, was a Hungarian actress. You'll also, if you blink or miss, you'll also miss Treat Williams in this. He plays Billings.
Ah.
Thank you.
the hell were you doing out in that garden? Pulling your foot? Well, besides that, Brody, he could have got me for Christ's sake.
He told me to sit tight and hold my flesh.
Hold your flesh? You couldn't find your pecker with a floodlight.
I love the dialogue. You couldn't find your pecker with a floodlight.
Put it in the microscope. There's Treat Williams. I know those eyebrows anywhere.
Candy-ass sobbing mother from the DA's office.
Yeah, one of my favorite movies that he's in is Deep Rising.
Mm-hmm.
Relax, relax. Give me some gum.
And drinking after killing someone, and then while you're on the job, and then some gun. Gum, yeah.
Bad cop.
Speaking of that, what was it that made you first suspicious?
The man himself.
Why?
Interesting. A black cop asked for that. And she knows not to say because he was black.
Simple as that.
You know, there's a lot going on in this screenplay.
And no doubt about it.
Just a break, will you? Just a touch of the seas. No, maybe she pulled him off the street.
Oh, boom! You gotta be kidding.
Why not?
Oh, buddy, that's class. Class is class.
Well, everybody in this movie looks familiar. Even the guy on the right side of the tent with the tan tie.
Oh, yeah. They're all TV people. You've seen them before. This was shot in New York City. It's 1974. Then released in 75. A lot of these people were day players, were on soap operas, theater. And if you take a look at the 70s and 80s, you'll see a lot of these people. You can go and check out all of these actors, and you've seen them. Absolutely.
The district attorney will be talking to you in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, just make yourself at home. Look, I understand how you feel. My little girl was raped last year. Believe me, life goes on.
What happened to you?
In what sense?
The man.
Oh, he's on ice by now. You know him well?
I never even saw him before.
Well, you seem so concerned.
It's just hard to believe.
Believe me, you'd be dead too if it wasn't for Officer Lacey.
Come here, Deborah. Would you like to wait out in the hall now? The DA will be ready in a moment.
Oh, child, what are you doing here looking all terrible and haggard? A witness, my, you know what? What kind of witness?
Okay, that actress.
I want out of this place.
It's Conchita Farrell.
I'm going to tell everybody.
Okay.
And you've seen her before.
Yeah, go to hell.
Yeah, because everybody in this movie looks familiar.
I take that back. That was Virginia Sandifer.
Oh, I got a little paperwork.
Oh.
You're not right.
Didn't do much, but she was in The Equalizer.
That was a great show back in the day.
I loved The Equalizer.
I heard they're bringing it back. With I don't know who's going to be in it, but I heard they're actually bringing, like, remaking or redoing the TV.
No, they are. I can't think of her name right now. Queen Latifah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I saw the first episode. It was okay. But I'm a Robert McCall, Edward Woodward. This guy here is Dick Anthony Williams. You've seen him all over the place.
Officer Lacey then ordered him to release you,
I'm really impressed with Jan Voorhees.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, Neji does some really good work.
And what happened? What do you mean you don't know?
And once again, like, we like to remind everybody that this movie is on YouTube under the title Deadly Hero 1975.
Well, she was hysterical. She passed out. The assailant fell on top of her, so I lifted them up, gagged them off, and then took them back.
So whenever there is a shooting, they have to go through a perfunctory investigation on how it happened. And so that's what they're doing here. They're talking to the victim. They're talking to the cop. And they'll notice that there are differences in the story. And that's where this film gets really interesting. If you think she's out of danger, think again. Remember what the title of this movie is. It's called Deadly Hero. And, of course, if you think about that, you know, this is a movie that I'm certainly would say that the New York City police did not appreciate, to say the least.
Yeah.
Particularly this one, he drinks too much. He has power problems. You know, you've got your basic anti-hero here, who turns out to be a villain. Which actually the turn of this happens about right here.
Brownstone building right here. That one right there. That's where they got that cop last month. Remember reading about it in the papers? They got this cop, they chopped him up in little pieces, put him in plastic bags, and spread him out in garbage cans all over the city. Happened right there in that brownstone. What was I talking
about? That's exactly what you want to talk about with a victim of a crime. Seriously.
I realize that you kind of said about that. That's fellow. But I gave him every chance, and you know it, right? When you're looking at me, you're not just looking at Ed Lacey, the cop. You're looking at society. You see, I represent society. So when that guy goes against me, he's going against everybody. Understand?
I represent society. Not in this case.
No.
Let's hope not, anyway.
I hope society has a better outlook on things, better attitude, and better everything.
Yeah. It's a good thing your case never went to trial. If your rape case ever went to trial, those civil...
Look how she reacts to this. She's doing this without any dialogue. Or very little.
And, yeah, her body language speaks so much.
Oh, yeah. You know, again, the whole idea of this series is to put a spotlight on films that are really good that you've never heard of. You know, and that's the whole point. In the 1970s, there's so many great films that went under the radar. And part of that is what we call the New Hollywood. The New Hollywood was a situation that started actually in the 60s with, you could say, Bonnie and Clyde and so on and so forth, and then, of course, Easy Rider, where these young directors like Scorsese and Coppola and that were coming up. They took hold. The people that were giving out the money were old school. So they didn't really understand what was happening in the late 60s, early 70s. So it was like throwing stuff against the wall and see what hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there were so many films that came out that they, you know, you're trying to capitalize on a director, on a specific star. This is where you get like all the L.A. Gould movies, George Segal at this point in time. James Earl Jones is part of it. And
right,
this film is trying to... say that again? Sorry.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, well, right there, that's a shot. Her against the wall and the blood spattered. Jesus. How brutal
is
that?
You mentioned Francis Ford Coppola. His first,
right.
The first film he ever produced, directed, and did a lot of work on, was a horror movie, believe it or not. It was actually an ex-murderer movie.
Actually, you're wrong about that, by the way. I know exactly what film you're talking about. He worked with the Nudie Cuties. He did some Nudie Cuties.
Oh.
Back in the early 70s.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He did. He did. So what you're seeing here is really a depiction of PT, of shell shock or post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Right. I had thought for a moment it was like Stockholm, but no, she's more in shock than anything else.
Right.
I'm actually surprised they let her back in their apartment this soon. I mean, what about the crime scene tape and all the investigation and all that? Or is it just because of the way things happen?
You could definitely say something about that, but this is a movie, so they're
going
to skip that.
Well, plus I also think it's the way things happen, and, you know, just kind of pushing along and get everybody moving, that thing, and out of there.
So at this point, she knows something is wrong. Idea of hero cop. There were a couple of specific things in the 70s and one in the early 80s where they made that mistake too, where the cop was considered a hero because he stopped something, but he did it wrongly. And there were a number of incidents, at least two I know of. Of course, these days in New York City, even though I'm right outside the city, the mayoral contest is heating up. So you're getting all this coverage. Yeah, it is.
Well, I hope the right person in the job gets voted in. That's mean politics.
Well, right now, the Democratic leader right now is Andrew Yang, who was a presidential candidate.
Oh, okay. Cool. I had one of those TVs when I was younger. New York. You see, I said it right. Those unit TVs with the UHS knobs? Oh, yeah.
Miss.
Okay, Carl, do you remember Crazy Eddie, the electronics guy?
Oh, are you kidding? Of course. I love those commercials.
Oh, yeah. There was like a whole investigation, controversy, all sorts of nasty stuff went on with that guy. I read an article about it, like, I think last year, and it was like, oh my god, the amount of like financial damage these guys caused is unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
We have a Miss Deborah out here with a new song.
Jeez, we're on our way. What's that?
And of course, the cops don't believe her.
There's not a bad bone in my body. I will be so happy to go downstairs and talk to that goddamn pain in the ass, Jesus Christ.
You know, I knew somebody who would just rattle off like that. It used to crack me up something fierce. Some of my bitching, Jesus Christ, piece of shit. And it's just like, dude, put mustard on a sandwich. Chill out. You can put mustard on yourself. Relax.
You know, the thing about it is, as you watch this film and listen to the dialogue, it's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
very, very careful.
You know what? I should find out something. Okay. Hold on. I'm checking something out here. That's why I love IMDb.
I'm being perfectly honest with you. I am thoroughly enjoying this movie. It's got a vibe that just like, this is really good.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
It is. It is. And that's the whole point.
What do you want, a brass band?
And I love that tie. Oh, my God. Yeah. I would buy a tie like that. Like, where every
you,
freaking
you know, hour. You know, the fashions are something here. So it was Don Peterson who wrote the screenplay. And he only did two other things. He did a film called An Almost Perfect Affair. And that was with Keith Carradine and Ralph Fiennes and Monica Beatty. And he did another film called Target, which was directed by Arthur Penn, who did Bonnie and Clyde, and starred Gene Hackman and Matt Dillon. So he did some good films.
Oh, yeah. I actually think I saw that in the movie theater with my cousin, I think.
Remember your positive 2-1 precinct, right? Now that he's a big man, you're going to be needing some bad clothes. I want you all to know that the big guy wants me, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm his man. The guy is cast. I just want you to know, without any crying on my beard, that I love you. Ah! Come on, I'm serious. I want you to know that no matter how high I go, Ed Lacey's door is always open to his old pal.
And he's got illusions of grandeur.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And
I got disconnected from the studio.
Point, he really knows what he did? That's a good question.
I think he does, and he just doesn't care. Because he seems to be that much of an asshole. Pardon the language. So, yeah, sorry I didn't respond there, Carl. I actually got disconnected. But luckily, since I've got access to the studio, I popped myself back in. So, we're good.
Good. You're so good. We've been having that trouble. But luckily, you and I are seasoned pros, aren't we?
10-4, good buddy. Podcasting ninjas, or something like that.
Something like that. So let me ask you a question. What do you think of Don Murray as an actor with this?
He's a good actor, but he's playing such an asshole. And you see, and it takes a good actor to make you hate them on screen.
Yeah.
Or despise them on screen. Like, Vincent Price actually said something about when he was in Witchfinder General. You know, normally, when Vincent Price plays villains, there's something about them you just, by his character, you just love. Like, I love how evil he is. But in Witchfinder General, people despise that character about, like, literally how freaking evil and sadistic his character was in the movie. And I remember him saying that someone sent him a letter that said, I absolutely hated you in this movie because of your character. And he responded back to the letter saying, that's exactly what I was trying to portray. And thank you so much for your letter. And I still love you.
We could get into that film because he and the director Michael Reeves were at odds. Because Reeves pushed him to play it straighter. And they were really at odds. There's a great line where Vincent Price says to Reeves, what do you know? I've been in hundreds of films. You've only directed 3. And Reeves looks at him, yeah, 3 good ones.
Ouch. Oh.
Yeah.
That was a ballsy move right there. I'll tell you what.
Hey, this is
think Nora should go away.
No, I want to hear. I got Flippo in here about 5 years back.
Yeah, I actually watched with Friend of Journal and got angry. Like, not because the movie was bad, but because of how...
But, by the way, I need to interrupt here a second. The actress who's talking now, the larger actress, that's Conchita Farrell. And you've seen her before. A lot. Okay, go ahead. You were talking about Vincent Price.
Oh, yeah. Witch Finder General literally made me angry. And, like, seriously angry at just because it was so based in reality about what happened to witch hunts around that time. And plus how I just didn't like Vincent Price's character, but that was the point.
I got a wife and kid at home.
Yeah.
And in 2 years, I can retire.
So if you hear a can opening up in the background, I'm not actually drinking beer. I'm drinking liquid death, which is basically carbonated water from Austria or something.
You realize I saved your life?
No, that's not product placement.
No. Now it gets more and more scary for her. And she
just wants to
be...
Oh no, that's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Oh, what the... What was that really loud bass noise? Big truck going by?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're going to run into that where I live. That and planes, because I'm not too far from JFK.
Yeah. Well, here where I live, if you listen, I'm being serious, and I don't want to sound like a smartass or, you know, putting the wool over anybody's eyes. There are times where you may hear gunfire in the background of my microphone, of my equipment, because that just happens where I live.
Well, I'm not.
It's not a movie in the background. It's literally something happening. And it's very sad. Yeah. Very sad and unsettling. So, and I do apologize if you do hear that at any time during any broadcast I'm involved in.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, I'm in the Metro NYC area. Eric is in Utica at this point, right? You're not in Perry.
No, I'm in Utica. A little quiet corner, but there still is a lot of stuff that kind of flies through here at high speed.
Bang, bang! Is that right?
Yeah. But my neighbors are really cool, so that's all. That's what matters. I got a nice little neighborhood over here.
No, they're looking.
And everybody cooks better than me.
Could that have happened when he fell? It's not very light. Where you been? I got hung up. No, sure is. Supposed to leave the precinct at 11:30. Be on time.
Well, thanks for letting me know, fellas. Believe me, I'm grateful.
Anytime.
Good to know you're behind me. Have some coffee before you leave.
Oh, boy. Let him loose.
So now things are starting to break down for Don Murray. It's not a good thing, Officer Lacey.
Ed, what? I got something to tell you. Now, don't flip out, right?
Bobsey twins flag me down.
You been exposing yourself again?
This is serious.
Excuse me?
What? They want from you. They wanted to know where the blade was when I came into the hole.
Motherfuckers!
You know, I'm actually looking for a couple of things from my apartment that are New York City themed. I'm looking for a replica of a 70s police car, like the one we see in this movie, and a New York Transit subway train. I think it's kind of cool. I mean, I already have a 42nd Street in my apartment, so
nice.
We got that covered.
So if you have a music teacher or a musician, it's very, very much common to go into schools and do programs for the kids. And that's what you have here. And that was very, very common. Still is to a certain degree. Of course, not in COVID time.
My Uncle Richard was actually a music teacher for a very long time.
Yeah.
Now, I have zero talent musically, but I know it sounds good to me.
Now this gets, yeah. So I hate to bring up politics, but, you know, you take a look at what Matt Gaetz is going through, and you think about it in relation to this film, and there could be a meltdown like this.
Now, is he the one with, is he the one with the 17-year-old over state lines and so on and so on and so on?
Yes.
Oh. Ugh. No. That's not cool at all. Well, anyway.
But, you know, the thing is, what you've got here is somebody in a position of power that did something wrong and trying to cover it up. Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you get more and more desperate. You do stupider and stupider things.
Yep. So that's why I don't do, in other words, don't do stupid shit.
I thought you were going to think about it.
I did. Notice what she does. She goes after... She's not afraid anymore in a lot of ways. She's going after him. She's confronting him.
You didn't do so hot in the hole.
And, of course, that's part of the whole thing about female empowerment. It's just part of this, too.
Are you threatening me?
I'm glad it goes by the... Now, how extreme does the empowerment go? That's the question. Is it like Miss 45 or I Spit on Your Grave type, or is it more she does the right thing, you know, she
well,
fights when she
you'll
has
see.
To.
You'll
right.
see. You'll see. She, you know, I mean, she's definitely in danger, but she's not, at this point, she's not backing down either. She's
good.
Not going to let him intimidate her. In fact, I think this is much more realistic.
Right.
And how they react.
What do you want me to do? Take a vacation? I ain't tired. I'm sick. Never felt better in my life. I got no choice here. Negative. The order is you take your vacation now. Negative.
Take your vacation.
Uh-huh. Ooh, I gotta check the camera.
You want my peace? Okay, you take it all. So much for bravery.
Out to the shore.
Above and beyond.
The mayor is
18 goddamn years.
The family.
Relax. Six slugs, Captain. Five for you, one for that lion.
You're a little fishing.
You want my feet? Well, take my feet and shove it up your ass. Come on out of the way, you scumbag.
I'm going to ask for a leave of absence anyway.
This is fair, Ed.
The beginning of a whole new...
And of course. You know, does he take responsibility for any of this?
No. Of course not.
Come on. I'm still at the top echelon of the top echelon.
No.
Right?
Yeah. He doesn't.
Pocket,
huh? I'm taking a look at this character. I think of someone who always wants a spotlight on him. Like a certain president that we had previously.
You nervous? I get beat up myself. Every time I get beat up.
Oh,
yeah. Good. I don't want any makeup. I think it looks great the way you do. Five
makeup
muscles.
I love these camera setups at the front of the vehicle. They're so cool.
Because when the count is in,
yeah.
It's you and me together. Right down the road to Gracie Mansion. No, I mean it. It's the best thing that can happen to a young fellow, really. I mean, you came out of the Army. You've gone to college, you've got his degree. City government is the most rewarding thing that a young fellow can tackle. I remember when I said...
City government is rewarding?
Okay.
Excuse me, your language. Oh, for God's sake, they call you, fellas. What kind of organization am I gone to?
All right, Mr. Raleigh, I can skip the makeup.
Oh, God.
And all of his ideas of being in government and that sort of thing are all just taken away.
So I figure we all figure that we should save you for the big push later on, right? You know what I mean. Good boy. Okay, now I'll see you around.
When TV production studios actually had rooms of equipment.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore, does it? Well, it does, but these days the equipment is so much smaller.
Yeah, back in the 90s, I would go, my cousin worked over at the local news station over here, so I would go over and visit him, of course invited and with permission, go and visit him, and he would give me tours of the place, and boy, it was a lot of fun, being here, seeing all the stuff and the actual news reports getting done. It was really neat.
Yeah. Nice shot.
Definitely.
This is tough.
Yeah.
I love the sense of place. This is one of those movies where it's New York at a specific time and place, and you're never going to see it again like this.
Yeah.
Even when I was in the 80s, it wasn't like this. It was close, but not quite.
I really wish I could travel back in time to this period and, like, explore New York City, especially 42nd Street. But it's just, it's so
I came in a little later than this. This is 75. This is when 42nd Street was at its peak. 73 to about 77, 78. When I came in 81, it was starting to go downhill quite a bit.
Yeah.
It was still the Deuce. And anytime my parents or anyone would visit, I'd make sure we'd go down the Deuce just so they knew. But it wasn't like this.
Bring in the bongos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the score is a good score.
It is
very it's very, very much reminiscent of these 70s films. He's caught.
Crash.
Boy, look at that station wagon. That.
What happened? Got the money? What am I supposed to scare her? And I did. She crossed 79th Street. I caught her right in the middle. It was beautiful. I scared the living shit out of her.
I snuffed out two others in the bargain.
That cabbie crossed me.
You blow it, you really blow it, don't you?
Look, my friend, accidents will happen even when things are...
You know, we used to have one of those back in the 80s. We actually had one of those station wagons that took out.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we got rid of it is because there was a deer hit involved and we went to a minivan.
Corplex, more product placement.
Did you bring the TV? Well, fuck you then. Lacey! Where are we going?
We gotta get invisible for a while.
Out here? Well, where am I gonna eat? You don't give a shit about anybody but yourself.
And you know this is not going to end up good for the for the hitman. You understand that?
Of course. Oh yeah.
Now, he definitely has crossed the line now.
Yeah.
Love that shot with the great with the gravestone. Great fucking shot. My beloved tabby.
Wait, you're definitely, I think you're about 20, 30 seconds ahead of me right now. Because I'm at the part where they're still walking. Oh, gravestones. Right.
I can stop for 30 seconds.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's all good. And he's done.
So we're getting to the final part of the film, and you could say that this woman has definitely gone through the ringer. I feel bad that this is her last film, because I remember seeing this and thought she was really good.
Mm-hmm. Deep breath, kiddo. You're fine. It's okay for the moment.
His wife has no idea.
These guys always put the gun in the belt. I'm just waiting for them. I want them to accidentally shoot their yunk off.
Tomorrow, Susie.
So this is this is probably Westchester, where they live, along the Hudson. Would be my guess.
Yeah.
Might be Staten Island, but I think it's I'm pretty sure it's Westchester.
Anybody ask, I got fishing. Do you understand that? Fishing.
So as we've gone through the film, what do you think so far of the direction again? Has this held up for you?
It's really, really good. The camera work and actual setup of everything is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things about Ivan Nagy, I talked about him at the beginning. He started out doing a blaxploitation film called Bad Charleston Charlie, and then a film called Pushing Up Daisies, and this film, and then he went into lots of TV. Del Vecchio, Chips, Starsky and Hutch, and then lots of TV movies that he did, Once Upon a Spy. He actually did Captain America 2, Death Too Soon,
really?
In 1979.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little scary. But then he went into lots of films later in his career in the 90s, like Lusty Liaisons, Old New Nicky, An American Pimp, Izzy Sleaze's Casting Couch Cuties.
Oh, my God, what a title.
Personally, a real letdown from a film like this. It's unfortunate that this did not hit for him because it's a damn good film.
It is. I mean, it doesn't rely on being overly exploitation-y and like slimy feelings, but it's really, really good. I mean, there's more drama than anything, than violence. But still,
right.
It's really good.
And that's the whole point. This is very unexpected for the period of time. I remember seeing this the first time in 1975. I was in high school, my senior year, and I just thought that this was so much different. That the tension in that was really... And then, of course, James Earl Jones, who's only in the first 20 minutes of the film. And then he's gone.
But it still keeps up the quality.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. And here you go. This is it.
No answer. Oh, you wait till she turns up dead. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Ooh, jeez.
I love the idea she's carrying the cello. Now, this is a great scene. I'm not going to say a fucking word from here on in. There's your pet cemetery.
Enters another zombie movie. Go! I had to say it. It was the pet cemetery thing.
Yeah. As I said, she goes through the fucking ringer on this. Look at those eyes. She's doing all of the acting with the eyes.
Yeah.
She's not stopping. Beautiful. Death by cello. When was the last time you saw that?
Ah, damn it. I'm 30 seconds behind you. Or 20 seconds. Oh, nice. I can see where this is going.
Let me tell you something. I know for a fact those goddamn things are sharp. Now, they have a little rest on them, but if you take that rest off, which you see her do.
Yeah. Wait, I'm surprised you're still standing after that. I mean, those... That went in deep.
Thank you. So that's six shots, I think.
Yeah. The max, well, stereotypical max for pistol is 9 rounds in the clip, 1 in the chamber. So 10 shots total at the max.
Okay.
From back in my days, anyway, so we'll go there. Big double bang!
Yep. So you don't know.
I think he bled out.
Yeah.
Because
but you don't know.
Not moving. Right.
Yeah. Love the ending to this. Again, the open-ended ending is very common in the 70s. Extremely common.
Yeah, that was...
So, okay, was first time watching Deadly Hero, Doc. Talk to me.
Thoroughly enjoyable, extremely fast-moving. Definitely was not what I was expecting. I was expecting something a little bit more gritty, very... This is a dark subject as is, but I mean like something more exploitation-y. Damn, this was so good. Yep,
notice that the New York Spine did cooperate in this film, which I'm surprised.
Yeah.
You will notice that at the end it says 1973. So this was actually shelved for a couple of years, which is unfortunate. I remember seeing this for the first time and being blown away, and nobody knows this film. Nobody. You know, and I think it's a goddamn shame.
Yeah,
and that's exactly... Yeah, that's exactly what we want to do with this series. We want to introduce films that are unusual. Now, of course, this is connected with incredibly strange films. I wouldn't call this incredibly strange, but I would call this extremely unusual for the type of film it is, because it goes in a much different direction than you expect, which you just said, of course.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we are expecting something to make you, that'll make you cringe with the vengeance and all that, and it doesn't go there. It's very, for the type of film it is, it's extremely classy. I will give it a lot of points for that. The direction was extremely good. The actual production values were insanely good. This is an A+. I mean, seriously, it didn't have much violence in it. Didn't have much horror. I'm glad it didn't go for the whole rape and violation thing. It got the message across. It did a great job at it without pushing everything too hard. I like it.
Well, you know, again, that's the whole point. Because this defies expectations. you go into this film expecting something, and you get something completely different. The interesting thing is they didn't go for the gore or the violence, but what they did go was for the suspense.
Yes.
And that they did extremely well. This is a nail biter. And it's psychological too. It's about, you know, it's about the psychological effect of this incident on both people. And how one, you know, takes this incident and takes responsibility and fights for herself, and the other one who doesn't take responsibility and falls into this pit of violence and that toward the other. And it's a really well done film. And I'm just so glad that we started with this particular film. Now, with the slight problem that we had with Amazon, I'm going to check something right now. Because I know that, let's talk about who's coming in next week.
Yes.
So
now,
tell us
our
who
goal
it
is. I can't tell you who it is. Because I'm still trying to figure out who it is. No, I actually...
Oh, okay.
It's called... I don't know exactly, but... it's some little thing that's been hanging around here at Sludge Industries and kind of working on things and, you know, it's kind of an interesting creature, if you want to call it that, so... Something very interesting will be here. Don't worry about that.
Well, he actually PM'd me. And the movie that he wants to do, I just checked on Amazon to make sure we don't have the same problem that we had with this one.
Okay.
And it is available for free if you have Prime. I am looking at it right now. It is called Cry Uncle. And it stars Alan Garfield, Paul Sorvino, and Madeline LaRue. And it is a sexploitation comedy slash mystery with lots of nudity and even a hardcore scene, which is silhouetted, but you know it's hardcore. Trust me. And would you believe that it's directed by the same guy who did Rocky?
I would believe anything right about now.
This is a film that's directed by John Appleton, and it's called Cry Uncle, and that's what we're going to do next week if all goes well and Amazon doesn't fucking kick it to where we have to pay for it. Seriously,
right? That's one of our goals with doing these shows are. Our movies that are free to little cost, and unfortunately, Amazon moves their Prime free videos around all the time. Like, for example, The Killer Shrews has been, you know, on Prime for free forever, and it's probably never going to leave free. But you know, different movies I've actually seen, like, you know, one week it's like, oh, hey, cool, we can watch this, and next week it's like $8, like, oh. And that's exactly what happened with Deadly Hero Bug. Admittedly, that was worth the $8, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Absolutely without a doubt.
But let's not forget, for everyone that's listening, it is available on YouTube for free. And yeah. I will make sure that I will mark that on everything that we posted. Okay? So there you go.
Yeah, that was definitely very cool. I really enjoyed it. I'm not used to watching drama movies, air quotes. I'm more of like the monster movie, horror, kaiju, all that stuff. So it's nice to open my eyes and broaden my horizons a bit. And this was definitely well worth it.
Well, there's no question that what I'm going to do on the series with Carl's Cavern is going to be 70s films. So you'll get a chance to do that, but you know, you can certainly do a monster movie. Rachel can pick something out. In fact, I know she wants to do Walk Hard. We'll get that scheduled.
And the Sludge Pit is coming back. The Sludge Pit show is coming back.
And another thing, too, just so everyone knows, those listeners, do you want to talk a little bit about what we're planning as far as the Patreon is concerned?
Yes. This weekend, I will be setting up a Patreon specifically for the Deviant Legion and these movie commentaries that we're going to be doing for ISF. Now, I am still learning Patreon, so I'm going to set up the account, and we're going to see what we can do for tiers, because there's with Patreon, basically you go to a group of people or like a creator that you like, and you basically will give them like $1 a month or something like that, and there's different tiers we can set up. For like, let's say $1, we'll do a shout out. $5, you get to pick a movie for a show, for an episode, or like higher than that, we'll have you as a guest on the show. But, we have to figure out what the restrictions are on that and also make sure everything's even and so on and so forth. But we are creating a Patreon for this area of the podcast.
And that should work out very, very well. I also want to just mention to all the ISF mods and the admins that they are free of doing that, because any of the ISF mods or admins, David Whittington, Kimberly Day Rutherford, Bill Taylor, any of you are welcome to come in and pick out a movie and join us, by all means.
Anytime.
We want to make this a joint effort between ISF and DLN. So we're definitely going to be doing that.
Because right now we're... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Right now we're looking to basically fund our operating costs. Basically, we want to continue with the blog talk, the service that we have. And we actually are looking. We want to upgrade the services, better sound, better online studio, all that. And like I said, we're just trying to cover operational costs. And if we can go above and beyond what we have now with the Patreon, that would be fantastic. And also, we'll invest in better equipment. Also, basically getting things taken care of and improved for our listeners who enjoy our shows. I sound like one of those TV salesmen from 2 o'clock in the morning, trying to sell you like a butt scrubber made with kelp or something.
Well, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so yeah, you're there basically.
Okay. Right. So
you're
we appreciate
there.
All our listeners, and we'll get the Patreon started this weekend. We're going to start it small, and then we're going to progress. So. We'll keep everybody updated. We'll also put the links on our Facebook page and also in the information for our shows.
Agreed. Now, just a quick bit of housekeeping at this point. On Tuesday at the ISF podcast, Joel Weinkoop will be returning with us because the Craig Lawton incident is now released from post-production. And valuable, and he'll be talking about that, and hopefully we'll get Tim Ritter on also.
Awesome.
Because he now is planning the second film in the series. And so they're already in pre-production for Craig Lawton Incident 2. This is what happens with micro-budget people. They keep working, just like we do here at the podcast. So that's on Tuesday. And Adam has a show coming up on Friday about the BBC miniseries, The Singing Detective. Who knows, we might even do another watch during the week. So we'll see what happens. Now, one thing I do have to say very briefly We lost a very good friend of the podcast and a comrade of ours. Derek Ferguson passed away. And we made an announcement last night on the last night's show. We will be planning a memorial podcast, not this coming week, but the next week. And we'll let you know more about that when it becomes a little more into focus. But we are definitely doing that in honor of Derek. Derek was on the podcast several times. He was extremely supportive of me, of everybody here, and particularly of Rachel, my regular co-host. We'll be doing that not this coming week, but the week after the funeral. So that's what's being planned for TLN. We want to thank everyone for listening. And just remember, if you're not listening live, you can certainly click on this link anytime and rewatch the film and with our commentary. And maybe what you want to do is watch the film first and then listen to our commentary. But you can do it over and over again. So please do that, you know, and give us some more listens. Again, I want to thank Doc for being with us on this premiere episode. I want to thank our listeners.
My pleasure.
And thank everyone at ISF for their support. We will see you next week with Cry Uncle. All right.
Yes.
So do you want to say good night, sir?
Yes. And I also want to also say thank you, everybody, for listening to our shows, being fans of the podcast and Deviant Legion altogether. And it feels really, really good to be back podcasting. So,
glad to have you back, Doc. We have missed you. Terrible.
Things got crazy, but you know what? We're back to where things should be. So I'm back, and we're going to have a blast. So, all right, everybody, we thank you so much, and have a great afternoon and a great evening. Goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.